Hello and welcome to Essential Sounds, a series of podcasts featuring independent and eclectic musicians much deserving of wider recognition. I'm Eric Wallach, and in this first program we feature Don Campo, a Californian who's been making and recording his own music for nearly four decades. I recently had the opportunity to ask Don a few questions, and in his articulate generosity, he spoke at length about his music, his influences, about recording at home, and especially about his dedication to recording with talented musicians from all over the globe. In the 60s and 70s, not many unsigned musicians were recording their music in studios, let alone their homes. What were your earliest recording experiences like?
Well, let me see. I remember we had as a family, we had a reel-to-reel tape recorder that I guess my parents must have had, and I started using maybe when I was about 15 or 16 years old. I would record sort of various collages of popular music and string songs together and make kind of collages out of them. And then I remember also doing sounds around the house, doors closing, dropping keys on the floor, tearing up paper, and making little collages out of that. It must have been about 1969 or so, I got together with my friend Jeff and his brother Dave over at their house, and in what was to become our group called The Roots of Madness, sort of an avant-garde group that we had. And I remember our first rehearsal was in their parents' Volkswagen van, which was in the garage, and we were all playing instruments. I might have been on harmonica, Dave was on clarinet, and I think Jeff may have played trumpet. And then we started recording not much later, must have been around 1970, some of our first recordings. I played piano, Jeff played trumpet, Dave played clarinet. It was some pretty freaky stuff. We were very inspired by, at the time, Albert Eiler, Captain Beefheart, and the Fugs. Here's a little taste of some of our early recordings done by The Roots of Madness from our first tape, I guess. Early efforts. That's our group, The Roots of Madness, from, must have been around 1970, a track called House of Dave. Of course, we were very influenced by the ESP disc free jazz sound at the time. And as a matter of fact, when we made an album of the best of The Roots of Madness, which was a collection of a bunch of songs from our various tapes called The Girl in the Chair, we actually sent the album to Bernard Stolman of ESP Disc. He rejected the album because he wasn't really into the music, but he did like the cover of the album done by our good friend Peter Blind. As The Roots of Madness, we continued to record through the mid-70s with various friends and our brothers. We did several tapes, and I have archived most of those, in fact, all of those things now, to CD. And I'm getting quite a bit of interest after the label called the Distill Label in Minnesota reissued the original album from 1971.
Don, your music is quite varied, from avant-garde audio collage and free improvisation to clever songwriting and even conventional rock and roll. What forces have driven you into these different areas?
Well, Eric, I've always been a music lover. Growing up with the Beatles and Rolling Stones, I remember giving my brothers copies of the, you know, latest Rolling Stones, 19th Nervous Breakdown or Get Off of My Cloud, for their birthday or for Christmas, something like that. My dad had been a jazz drummer back in the 40s, so we had a lot of music around the house and there was a lot of excitement about music. Early on, I got into Mothers of Invention and Pink Floyd. Must have been around 1967 or so. And then when I met my friend Jeff in around 68 or 69, Jeff was already heavily into jazz and Coltrane and Miles Davis and stuff like that, which was new to me. And I introduced him to the world of Hendrix and Cream and that kind of stuff, which was really new to him. So we exchanged information about music, and we just loved it, and we wanted to play it. I had gotten my first guitar maybe in 1968 or so, and the first thing that I remember trying to do with it was not really play songs, but just sort of play modal music, like Indian music, which I was really beginning to get into at that time. I'll give you a couple examples of some variety of different things that I've done, from experimental to pop. That's a loopy number that I called Ethnic Orchestra Number 1. It comes from one of my tapes from 1985 called Variety Show. I recorded a bunch of ethnic music on short loops that I looped on the four-track and then recorded onto cassette and mixed them all together. And I went on to do a bunch of other stuff in the loopy vein as well for several tapes until it wore out my heads in 1987. After a long piece I did called Meteors and Pickles. Let's hear a track now, sort of more in the pop vein, featuring also my good friend Greg Gray on drums. Greg and I go way back, and he is also a longtime musical partner for me and very inspiring to me, a very fine drummer and musician. And this is a track I called In a Hurry. It comes from my tape called New Monterey Road Sounds.
That really blew my mind was I Know a Guy. There's a lot going on in that tune musically and lyrically. Can you talk a little bit about how you came to write that? Maybe dissect it a little bit?
Well, let me see. I Know a Guy. That also comes from New Monterey Road Sounds about 1984. That particular tape was actually a collection of various things that I'd recorded from the early 80s. I put together to be like my first trading tape with other people that I would find through like Option Magazine or Sound Choice Magazine early on. And that particular song is sort of drawn from the news, if I remember. It's a composite character, sort of a freaky sex offender who hangs around the schoolyard and churches. And then the bridge, which is dramatically different, sort of offers him a redemption through ethnic music, specifically the music of Burundi and the instrument called the Inanga, which they get these long strings and they put them on this weird bathtub-looking device and stick it into the ground. I Know a Guy.
I've got a friend and he's wanted by the cops. He didn't really mean to take the sting that he took. He's a low-down, dirty, disgusting little rip-off. He's a crazy, whacked-out psycho, little sucker. I know a guy and he's what they say for pulling down his pants in the schoolyard one day. He's a low-down, dirty, disgusting little pervert. He always makes me laugh when he tells me he just got.
Usually recognize you in two notes of any guitar solo. Who or what have been some of the sources of inspiration for your lead guitar playing?
Well, I've had a lot of influences over the years because I'm a huge guitar fan. John McLaughlin has been a huge influence on me and my brother Chris, who also plays guitar. Harvey Mandel, who is a blues rock guitarist and just very, very tasty to me. Clarence White, who played electric guitar with the Byrds for a couple of years there, and his sort of pedal steel sound on the guitar was very attractive to me. Of course, I'm a huge Jimi Hendrix fan. Frank Zappa was a huge influence on me because he had sort of a different voice than a lot of other people at the time on electric guitar. I'll play a couple of tracks where I feature the guitar. Okay, the first track that we'll hear is from my tape, which is a CD now, called Heartbeat and Loopy, where I sample a bunch of rhythms and then do guitar solos over them. This one is called Salute to My Swami. little bit of sitar mixed in on the track called Salute to My Swami from Heartbeat and Loopy. That comes from 1994. Let's get a little more current now with a track from 2005, which clearly shows my Frank Zappa influence. In fact, it's called Frank Showed Me.
Of your released work is in collaboration with others. What do you like best about working on these long distance collaborations, and who are or who have been some of your favorite collaborators and why?
Well, you know, I think the thing that I like best about it is just the sense of sort of community, the sense of friendship that can be achieved through meeting someone, even if I never actually meet them per se, but developing and creating a project. It's a real special feeling for me, the one that I've enjoyed. I mean, I think the original reason that I started collaborating with people, not only for the friendship of it and the music that we can make, is just I didn't have real good drum machine or bass or a lot of great sounding recording equipment at the time. And by getting other people to give me backing tracks, I could get real nice quality sound that I could then, you know, slap my vocals and my, you know, lead guitar on my open reel 4-track that I was using at the time. Now, things have become quite a bit different now in the digital age, where I can put all this stuff on my hard disk and record it digitally, and it makes a lot better fidelity, I think. Some of the people that I've really enjoyed working with through the years, a longtime friend Dino DeMuro from Los Angeles. Dino and I go way back to, must be about 1985 or so now, and I remember our first project was on my 2-tape set called Pinata Party, and Dino is always fun to work with. We have a lot of the same sort of ideas about some types of music, I guess, and he's a very fine musician and wonderful recordist of his own music as well. Some other people that I've enjoyed over the years, Ken Klinger, of course, makes it so easy to record music because it makes so much logical sense, and he has such a great sound and unique trademark sort of signature sound to him. Just so many people over the years. Al Perry is a musician from Tucson, Arizona. Al is a very fine country rock guitar player and vocalist, writes some really fine songs. And over the years, he has sent me a bunch of backing tracks, which I have found very pleasurable to work with and real easy to come up with. I mean, one of the things that I enjoy working about collaborations is that it will send me off into new directions sometimes. And hopefully, you know, the sum of the parts between one person and me, we can do something that's different and, you know, might surprise us. Over the last couple of years, I've been real fortunate to enlist a lot of people on my Pen Pals projects. Pen Pals was a collaboration project that I started back in 1988, although it really goes back to the Pinata Party double tape with Dino DeMiro, Ken Klinger, James Hill, and Mark Hanley. That was really my first collaboration. Then in 1988, I started the Pen Pals project with a slew of different musicians. And recently, in 2005, I completed work on two new projects called Pen Pals 3, which is a double CD, and Pen Pals 4, which is a single CD. And it's got just a wonderful lineup of people not only submitting backing tracks for my vocals, but also doing vocals on top of my instrumental tracks. And I thought that that was really an honor to work with these people. I was also fortunate enough to work with you, Eric. You submitted some really nice tracks, and we collaborated on a couple of different things. Back in, I think it was 2002, we did the project, instrumental project called Wreck a Lilac, where we did some short improvisations and traded guitar improvs. That was a lot of fun. It sounded great. And then we also did Disappearing Act in 2003, where you submitted some backing tracks for me, and I did vocals over it, and I thought that came out really well. And, of course, I was honored to have you on my Pen Pals 4 CD. As a matter of fact, let's hear a track from that, and the track that we do together, which I dedicate to my wife, Robin.
Such a wonderful witness.
Yeah, that's the track called Wonderful Witness. Features yours truly, Don Compo, on vocals, and Eric Wallach on guitar and bass and a little bit of percussion. Thanks, Eric. Pen Pals 4 came out in 2005. Let's hear another track now where I do the backing music, and my friend from Portland, Oregon, her name is Heather Perkins, does the vocals.
So suppose you know what I have in mind, or how I feel. I don't think you know where I want to go. I wanna go back where I've been, and I'm just trying not to fall. Come on in, I know you well. The night surrounds me like a friend.
That's the song called Back Where I've Been with vocals by Heather Perkins. Heather also adds a little bit of nickel harpa there on that track. She's a great musician from Portland, Oregon. And let me see next. I'll give you a little example of a little more outside or avant-garde improv collab that I did with Youngstown, Ohio musician Tom Fergus. Tom plays pocket trumpet, and I play five guitars at the same time.
Thank you.
had some improvs from Tom Ferguson and myself. He on pocket trumpet and I'm on various guitars. That comes from Improvisations 2005, Volume 1. Of course, I forgot to mention earlier that one of my favorite and most influential guitarists, Derek Bailey. Derek unfortunately passed away here last Christmas Day, 2005. And it certainly broke new ground and made me rethink the guitar.
Your lyrics regularly deal with issues such as phoniness and materialism, the world of work, especially your own, and the good and bad in all things having to do with love. To what extent are your lyrics autobiographical, or are they more universal?
That's a very good question, Eric. I think for me, it's a combination of things. Certainly, some of the stuff I have written is directly autobiographical. And a lot of the stuff that I have drawn from my job, because I work in the vegetable and fruit department of a grocery store, has not only provided me with a lot of humor, but sort of interesting perspectives that I might not have thought of otherwise. Stuff from the news, of course, has always been good. And I've always found it interesting. People like David Byrne could express mundane details about their everyday life. And, of course, Frank Zappa would look at the sort of absurdity of life, and that's been sort of influential to me as well. I've always felt that cadence was more important than necessarily rhyming, although I do rhyme a lot in my songs. Just the sound of the syllables of the words always sort of made my songs and made my lyrics grow organically. And of course, I always wanted to put as much passion into my singing as possible. And I think I've become a better singer over the years now, and especially with harmony vocals, which I was never really able to do that well with four-track, I've been able to do a lot better, I think, in the last couple of years. Okay, here's a song called I Need My Sponge. It comes from my CD called Beyond Fake, where I sort of deal with the everyday details of life.
I need my sponge. Bring me my broom. Bleach and ammonia and a pair of rubber gloves, a bag for some garbage, 'cause I'm gonna get it done. It doesn't matter what time you're supposed to leave. Any information gathered will be subject to availability. Be careful to always document your every step along the way. You never know who's watching when you pass the grade. I need my time. Duty double wide. Now, why would I rather leave a mess instead of dealing myself? I guess there's trash mixed among the good stuff. Am I so lazy? What's the real issue here? Would I rather just put on a reel-to-reel?
I need my bleach. Be they fumes of an affair. What's it gonna take, do you think, to wipe it up with towels? To get some cleaner out? Don't you think it's better off sanitizing than by doing that in court? I need my sponge. Bring me my broom.
Well, okay, that's a song about cleaning up called I Need My Sponge from Beyond Fake. Of course, being sad or blue has been an inspiration for many for songwriting, and that includes me, as I express here on my song called Can't Write a Happy Song with John and Peter Hines.
I'm feeling bad. What's the deal? Been open for a day. Well, I might feel fine. Been praying, meditating, and biding my time. I wish I could feel good, so I could cut a tune.
So, Don, what's in the near and distant future for you musically?
Well, Eric, I'm always working on new projects, always working on solo material at home. I'm always thinking about new collaborators to work with. Right now, I'm working with a guy in Missouri. His name is Ben Niven on sort of a rock project. And I'm working on an instrumental guitar collaboration with a guy in Argentina. His name is Federico Barbarino. So those are developing quite nicely right now. Also have just done a long piece for tapegerm.com, which I downloaded a bunch of loops from that site and then mixed it together with a Moog synthesizer work that I did. And so that looks to be promising. In fact, is I would highly suggest tapegerm.com if you're not familiar with it already. It's a great interactive music site. Okay, if you'd like to contact me and maybe send me your music for airplay or for trade, my name is Don Compo. It's P.O. Box 9162, Santa Rosa, California, 95405. You can email me if you like at compodj@jps.net. That's CAMPAUDJ@JPS.net. You can also go to lonelywhistle.tripod.com for my music catalog and for more information. I'll leave you with one song here from the collaboration CD that I did with Eric Wallach called Wreck a Lilac. This one is called Q for Sling Blade Sequel. Well, thanks for the interview, Eric, and a chance to play my music for you. Hope to hear from you.